Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest,
your hermitage of the heart,
your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints so that we might better navigate, survive, thrive, I think.
Thrive. We're meant to thrive.
Thrive in the storm that is this life. And boy, is it stormy.
Yeah. But it's interesting that you use that word, because God's delight is man fully alive.
Yeah.
Thriving.
Yeah.
Running. So I think today's topic is going to be a great topic for those people who would like to thrive. They're tired of just surviving.
Right.
They're tired of just feeling the weight of this current culture, this current situation, you know, in their own lives, in the broader communities, in their churches, in their nation, in their world.
Yeah.
Because this goes out everywhere. And so if you want to know how to encounter the living God, how to awaken to his presence, because he's always with you. That's today's topic, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, and the conversation comes out of experience we've had at events. We've been speaking now for years together, and we constantly have people come and talk to us, and they tend to be in desolation or really struggling and say, you know, I'm trying to live this faith out. I don't see God anywhere. He's not, you know, in essence, they're saying he doesn't act the way I want him to act or I expect him to act, you know? I don't see God. How do I see him? Where is he for me?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting, because this morning, we had a guest here at the retreat center who wasn't familiar with the term of the prodigal son. And so we went back and
the parable, really?
Right, the parable of the prodigal son. And so we started to have this discussion about it, about, you know, why do we pray for prodigals and to come home? And so many of the people that we're talking about have wandered away from the faith, have wandered away from the path that the Lord desires them to be on. And that's why they don't have a sense of where is God?
Right.
Where is he? Much like the prodigal son was, you know, in the bin with the pigs, watching them eat while he's starving and saying, this is not what I signed up for. This life where I am is not what I want.
Yeah.
And surely there's more than this.
Right.
Surely there's more. And so I think that's what we're talking about. It's like, how do you wake up to that? How do you encounter this Lord that people tell you is everywhere?
You know, it's interesting you bring up the prodigal or the parable of the prodigal son. The other player is also related to this conversation, which is the son who was the good son, if you will, in quotes. Mm-hmm. Right? The bitter one, though.
Yeah, bitter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He stayed at home and got upset at his dad for receiving the prodigal home. And, you know, he said, hey, you never gave me a party, that sort of thing. And I think there are also people, there's folks who totally go away. And then there are people who are in, but don't quite get it yet.
Right.
They're decent people. They are in, they're staying in, which is a good choice.
Going to church on Sunday.
Right, right. And they're always good people, but still just struggle. Like, what is going on here? Why are things, you know, not the way that I'd like them to be? So I think, I don't know, where do you want to start? You want to start with why? I think that's where we want to start. Why is...
like, why do we have trouble seeing God everywhere?
Right. Why do we have trouble seeing God and then engaging with him and knowing him?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we have to go back to the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we need proper perspective of, like, how did we get into this mess?
Right.
Into the first place? Because God designed us for an eternal relationship with him. He designed us in a way that we are to be loved and to love in return.
Yeah.
And it's this beautiful calling right on our life. But here Adam and Eve are in the garden. And I, you know, there was a movie years ago, not a great movie, terrible theologically, but they did have this beautiful scene. And it was just for a moment where they showed Adam and Eve in the, walking in the garden and pre-fall. And Adam and Eve, when they were walking in the garden, looked like pure light, pure, vulnerable, free, just
not tainted by anything negative.
No. Right. And it was obvious that, you know, they didn't have any covering on. So they were, they were naked and unafraid.
Yeah.
And it's really, really beautiful. So I've thought about that image before of like, what was it like pre-fall to walk with the Lord? Would have been complete delight, freedom, vulnerability, deep trust, on fire with love, receiving love, giving love, giving away love
fully
to others.
Open to one another and to God.
And to God.
And of course, they could see him easily, hear him easily.
Right.
They walked with him
in the garden.
Right.
Yeah. So beautiful. And so then the wicked serpent, you know, shows up. And so Eve is out in the garden. I like to joke she's out in the produce section, you know, and her husband's nowhere to be found.
Dangerous produce section.
Right. Like, so there's a painting from the Vatican that's very beautiful. And I think it's interesting because they depict Adam is sitting down.
Yeah, I've seen like, that painting from the Vatican Museum.
Yeah, yeah. So he's sitting there just, you know, I don't know, maybe has a remote in his hand and a bag of chips in the other.
Yes, but he's sitting on the ground, his rear end.
You know.
With his back, isn't it too, if I remember right, his back is to him.
Yeah, he's.
Her,
he's,
I mean.
Yeah, he's kind of got, like, she's off to his left.
Right.
And we're like, he's not facing her. So he's not keeping track of her. He's not keeping an eye on her. He's not protecting her.
Right.
And this serpent is talking to her and saying, you know, God didn't really say, did he really say this? Did he really say you couldn't do this? Did he really, you know, so sowing that doubt, and that doubt immediately comes in. It starts to take hold of her heart, which doubt is the opposite of faith. So here she was walking in complete faith. The enemy whispers in. And she begins to doubt God's goodness, his presence, his love for her, his provision for them. She forgets everything that he's given to her. She forgets that if he didn't think of her at any instance, she would cease to exist. Like everything would go away. Him, the Lord's thinking of her keeps her in existence. It keeps her in relationship. With her and with Adam, with him and with Adam. So she listens to that lie. She looks at it. She begins to get envious, greedy. She looks at it. Oh, it's good. Gluttonous. I'm gonna take a bite of this, even though I've been told not to. And she takes that bite, and then she hands it to her husband. And her husband, knowing that they're forbidden to do that, follows his wife.
What a knucklehead.
Right. And, you know, and then the rest of us, where are we?
Right.
We are now having difficulty finding God.
Well, and so, but you jumped ahead, expelled from the garden.
Sure.
So we, what have we lost then? We've lost vulnerability.
Yeah.
We've lost this walking with him. I mean, we can, all this can be restored, by the way.
Right.
But vulnerability, walking with him, hearing his voice.
Childlike faith and trust. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, we've lost that.
Purity.
We've lost purity. We've lost peace. We've lost, you know, all of that, right?
Yeah.
This purity, this peace. Even our passions are now tainted. The passions that were properly ordered to our spouse and to God and to all this beauty that he's given us have now been tainted, and they lead us down a road of destruction.
So this is a good summary. We're coming to the end of this segment. We have another segment to talk about. So the garden is what screwed it all up.
Yeah. Led us to spiritual sleep.
Right. Basically. But I think a few good important points here. He designed us for oneness. He designed us to see him. So that the fall happens, then that affects us, of course, as we're born into the world. Baptism reverses that all of those penalties, except concupiscence, which is the tendency towards sin. And so then we choose sin, which in essence brings forward what they did to be a reality in our life here and now.
Right.
So we participate in the darkening of our intellect and the weakening of our will by saying yes to the serpent over and over again instead mm-hmm. of yes to God. Now that can be counteracted mm-hmm. and that can be cured and healed. And I think, interestingly enough, I've heard this said, you know, and it's sort of implied in the "Oh, happy fault" refrain, that I think it can be restored in an even deeper and more beautiful way than it was originally experienced in the garden. Mm-hmm. If not here, certainly in heaven, but there's something that the saints experience, and we can all be saints, and we're called to be saints, I think is a deeper kind of sharing and reality of oneness with God than could have been experienced by Adam and Eve. You're a theologian out there, feel free to write me and tell me exactly where I'm wrong, but please be specific.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because Saint Marie of Jesus Crucified, Carmelite, there's a quote of hers that I saved from years ago, and she said, "The most beautiful souls in heaven are those that were the farthest away and repented." And that's her quote.
Fascinating. The most beautiful souls in heaven are those who are the most lost, in essence.
Right. And repented.
But repented and came back.
Right.
I love that.
Right.
I love that.
So if you think about Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
You know, deeply important to my spirituality.
But, yeah. Well, you think, I mean, just we could list our own sins. And
You know. But she was so gone. Right. Seven demons expelled.
Right.
And yet she was the apostle to the apostles. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's pretty remarkable.
That's incredible.
So when we get back from the break, we're going to talk about the remedy for all of this. And how do we find our way to seeing God, recognizing him? And I think we can even recommend a particular resource to our listeners to help them with this. So we'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation. You know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're talking today about how to see and know the presence of God. In our first segment,
how to awaken to,
to his presence. In our first segment, we talked about why how did we end up in this place where, you know, I wear glasses and it seems that they always are, you know, perpetually smudged. And Stephanie's always cleaning them, right? And so my vision, even right now as I'm looking in the studio, is blurred. But we can have our spiritual vision blurred, and we can have, it's almost like we wear glasses that block out the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And it's because of our own sin, the concupiscence. It's
things
because
that have been done
to us, right? Yeah.
You know, the wounds that we carry, right, where the enemy just gets attached to those.
Bad expectations, misunderstanding of how God works, all that. So
terrible catechesis.
Right. So let's talk about the solutions.
Okay. So we're all afflicted, spiritually asleep. How do we become awake? How do we awaken our heart to the presence of God? Well, I think everybody would expect us for the very first one, obviously, to say the sacraments.
Yeah.
The sacraments. So whether you're new to us or whether you're an old shoe that's been here a long time, you may have heard us. That means that you're really, really comfortable with
us. Oh, okay. Like, I thought it was like,
slide your foot in.
Old stinky shoe.
No. It's a comfort thing. Okay. It's a comfort thing. Like you know all about it. You've been here for a while.
Right.
So sacraments.
Yeah.
So a lot of people may not know this, and I hope listening to us, you've now come to realize this, but that confession is more powerful than exorcism.
Right.
Confession is more powerful than exorcism. So exorcism is a sacramental. Confession is a sacrament. Okay. And so it is more powerful than anything else that we can do in beginning our journey back to the Lord and our desire to be awakened. I really super recommend to everybody that begins their journey back, or they're starting to become awake or whatever, go do a general confession. Like, what is that?
Yeah, what is a general
confession? A general confession? That means, first of all, you got to make an appointment with your priest, because it's going to take a while.
You can't just walk into the confession.
Don't walk in 15 minutes before Mass and want to try to do a general confession.
Mine took 2 hours.
Mine was an hour and a half. So, okay, so you want to do a general confession, which is you go and do an examine of your entire life, your entire life. And I went back to the very, very beginning. Like, I remember I stole a pack of Chiclets when I was like six in the checkout line.
Nefarious.
I know, right? It was terrible. But anyway, I didn't want to leave any stone unturned. So I was a little itty bitty thing, right? I brought that in my general confession. So everything that I'd ever done, that I could think of, that I could come up with, in examining my life, I brought that to confession, hugely powerful.
Yeah.
And as you do, the Lord just starts to rush upon you, and He brings up, you know, things that you've forgotten. You know, I've seen it in healing ministries that people start to tell their story and they're like, oh, wait, I forgot about this and this and this. So the Lord, in our confession, in our desire to be free and bringing to Him our brokenness, He helps us remember those other areas that have blocked grace in our lives, even if it's in just one little corner. Like, He is such a jealous, beautiful lover that He doesn't want any stone unturned. He's like, I want all of you down to your pinky toe. Like, I don't want you to hold anything back. Come to me, lay it all at my feet, and let me wash you clean and prepare you for me, like Ephesians 5 says, you know, where he presents her to himself, the church, spotless, sinless, beautiful. It's just such a beautiful grace. So general confession is super important. Use a great examine in order to help you and prompt you.
Best one we know published is Leaflet Missal, written by Father Robert Altier.
Yeah.
Altier is extraordinary. And then Confession, It's Fruitful Practice is also a very valuable little book.
Yeah, and to that end, you know, if we have a proper confession, then the sacrament of the Blessed Sacrament, the sacrament of all sacraments, when we receive the Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, when we allow the Lord to feed us, that then has a more efficacious effect on us.
Right.
Because if we have sin that's unconfessed, if it's venial, he helps wash it away with the sacrament. But a lot of it is, you know, can be more than that, and we don't even realize it. And so we want to receive all the graces that He has for us.
You know, it's interesting. That's an important point, that we don't even realize it. Mm-hmm. Because some of us think, I'm fine. You know, we've talked about this a lot. I don't kick puppies. I use my turn signals. I smile at people. I'm nice, whatever. But they don't actually know what it means to live in a life of fidelity to God. And my favorite book that covers this in depth, that is just phenomenal, is by Dr. Kevin Vost, God rest his soul, wonderful, beautiful man who passed away recently. And it's called The Seven Deadly Sins by Seven Deadly Sins. It's a Thomistic look at the sins, all of their daughters, and how to, and then I think the subtitle is how to vanquish, mm-hmm. you know, how to vanquish the
sin. So he teaches about it,
yeah,
and all of its daughters, and then he teaches you what the opposite virtue is,
right? Right.
Because that's how you live in virtue. You can't just like sweep the room clean,
yeah,
and just hope everything's okay. You've got to fill yourself. You've got to begin to practice virtue.
Yeah. And, you know, when we talk about seeing God, we have to be in right relationship with him to see him. You know, as an example, if you and I are fighting or irritated with one another, we don't see one another. What we see is our own, we're narcissists. It's sort of, we turn into the narcissists that are now focused on, I'm focused on me, you're focused on you. I mean, hypothetically, mm-hmm. we're both upset at one another. And we don't see the other. We don't receive right. the other. I'm just frustrated. I don't like what's going on or whatever. And because of, and we do that with God, but we don't realize it's happening because it's not as, I don't know, you know, Jesus incarnate would have been easier. But right. with you and I incarnate, I mean, you and I should say, in flesh and blood, you know, we can see, it's a little easier to see. But being in relationship with you means there's no other woman but you, mm-hmm. That I treat you with dignity and respect, you know, that I honor our marriage contract in every mm-hmm. way.
That you nurture and cherish me.
That I'm kind to you.
Yeah. 5.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but if there are things on that list, if you will, that I don't know about and I violate, you know, our relationship, that does damage. Mm-hmm. Which hinders a deeper kind of bond between us.
Right.
So it's the similar with God, you know, gratefully, God is far more understandable than women. I mean, I'm kidding. It's just, I had to say it.
Yeah.
But he's a lot, you know, he isn't ambiguous.
Right.
Right. Right. The church is super clear about what is intrinsic evil. What is sin? What's a venial sin? You know, it's super clear about these things, but we don't often know or study. And so we can often be living in infidelity to God.
And not realize it
and expect a deeper kind of reality that's blocked. So there's another book that I think is extraordinary and figure. So let's say you've done a general confession that you're sacramentally sound and these other things are in place. It's called rooting out your hidden faults or rooting out hidden faults.
Rooting out hidden faults. It's great.
It's an extraordinary work that'll help someone who's already doing well to go deeper in self-awareness.
Right. 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 Yeah.
So let's go back to some, only got a few minutes left.
Well, some of the other things,
maybe pick the most important one.
Yeah. So I think, given who we are and what we talk about normally, you know, there would be an assumption mental prayer needs to be in place.
Right.
You need to go deep into Lectio Divina mental prayer. Examine an unexamined life is a mess.
Should we dive into that one a bit?
I actually want to dive into one other that I think is actually super important. It's embracing God's will.
Oh, yes. Huge.
It's embracing God's will. Oh, look there. Finding Peace in the Storm, written by Dan Burke.
Well, it's written by Alphonsus Liguori mostly.
Yeah, but your name's on it.
That's
so
true.
Good. So anyway, so embracing God's will. And what does that mean? That means really understanding that by design, what God has set up for us, the trials, the tribulations, the road that we travel on, how we're going through life, the Lord is allowing it, or he wills it.
He allows it or he causes it. Yeah. Right.
Right. Right. And so, it's like when you take a wrong turn and it used to be that, I don't remember what the app was, but it would say redirecting. Right, right. That's the Lord. Right. That's the Lord when you stop off the path of his will. And he's like redirecting. Right. And he uses it in order to help you get on the right path.
And
the
hard part about that is learning to trust him.
Right, right.
You know, because if you don't trust him and things are difficult, you're like, why are you doing this? Well, you can spend a lot of time railing against what he's doing instead of embracing it. If you'd embrace it
and
say, how do I honor you in this difficult mm-hmm. circumstance?
Yeah.
Now we're walking with him.
Right.
And we can see him in that.
right back to the garden.
Right.
Right. We can make right what Eve lost for us, what Adam and Eve lost for us. So I think those are the things that we really need to consider. And I think as well, and we can start to wrap up with this. It is really important. One of the biggest barriers, I think, to people being awakened to God's presence in their life, being awakened to the grace that he desires to pour out for them, is holding on to wounds and unforgiveness. And that ties back to the sacrament of reconciliation, confession, but also embracing God's will. Mm-hmm. We need to understand that the Lord from the cross said, "Forgive them, they know not what they do." Right.
Or we war not against flesh and blood in a few, you know, right. in St. Paul's writings.
And in the perfect prayer, "Forgive us, Lord, as we forgive those who trespass against us."
Yeah.
So he tells us time and time again. He models it for us. He shows us, "Forgive, forgive, forgive, so that I can love you, I can heal you, I can restore you. Let justice be mine, and let me heal you and love you and set you free."
Yeah.
Set you free.
I did write this book, a commentary on the writings of St. Alphonsus Liguori on uniformity with God's will, to deal with the challenges of these times, the common woundedness of these times, mm-hmm. and to help people to look up and to see and to embrace what he's doing and to join with what he's doing, to endure with his love and care, you know, in the most difficult cases. And as we do that, we will see him, see him, and then be able to walk with him.
That's right.
All right.
That's right. Okay. So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.